and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Some of you are getting one, I can tell you that. Lurking conservatives, how are you? Mark Riley is here. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
This is it. We've got the countdown going. This is the third to the last show, my friends. We got a fan in here. It's still hot as hell. What the heck is that about? Is that guy going to come fix this place at 6 o'clock? I feel like I'm in the iguana cage at the Bronx Zoo. I'm in the reptile section. I'm not cold-blooded. We got a fan in here blowing everything around.
And it's 19 degrees outside.
Yeah, I know, but I'm already feeling a little sick. Thank you, Kayla. Feeling a little... that's great. That is great.
I used to love the fat guys.
I'm not going
to
play this with you. I'm not going to do it today, but I felt a little sick. You know what's interesting about me feeling a little under the weather last night? Because I felt it. I thought to myself, damn, Kayla, why the hell did he have to bring it? And then I realized, you know what? I'm willing to get sick to have you around this week.
That's what I was thinking.
That's how I felt. I was like, you know, I'm not going to get mad at that guy for getting me sick in these last few days when I have to do a lot of stuff and move and get a lot of stuff done with my life and make the transition because I want Kayla to be around.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, you bet, man. I went out to the health food store and I bought some Oswegen. Do you ever take it?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, you think they put a name on it that people could pronounce? Everybody just does Oswegen. So it's a what do you call it? A homeopathic remedy, which means
you swallow it or something.
No, you stick it in your eye.
I don't know what it is.
You put it. You just throw the whole tube right up the. You know what I mean?
That's gigantic. No, it's really long.
No, they're little sugar balls. They're little sugar balls in there. It's homeopathic.
So you put the balls in your mouth.
Exactly. He had to do that.
This is a big radio thing.
You put it.
All the radio dudes I've seen use this thing. They're these little white like.
Yes, it's homeopathic, which means it's magic.
Seriously,
a Swedish homeopath that goes woo over them.
Joanne Allen, who used to work here, swore by them. She used them all.
Well,
the time.
I'm on it because I don't feel like getting. I'm on this. I'm on the zinc. I'm drinking some green tea right now. I've had a couple of those Odwalla Super C Power Boosters. I had my green food this morning. I think that's one of the problems with people when they get sick. They actually overdo it, and you throw your system into some sort of weird herbal processing plant that can't even handle what you're putting into it. But I feel all right. I felt a little under the weather. You know what I did? I'm telling you, man, this last week it's killing me because I am eating compulsively. I went home. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting in my empty apartment going through stacks of bills, putting them in a file cabinet. I'm panicking about my papers because of identity theft and everything else. I want to carry my papers in my bag with me. Like, I have anything important? Like, what if somebody gets my old Time Warner bills? Huh? What happens then? What if someone knows what I'm paying for my Sprint? You know, what happens then? Why am I saving that crap anyways? Do you know
anything
about that?
Somebody already does know. His name is Alberto Gonzalez.
And they know everything. Exactly. The Patriot Act. They're like, Maron just called Riley's house.
That's it.
So what do you know about that? Do you save all your crap? How much of this stuff do I have to save? Can somebody please tell me what I can throw away and what I can't throw away? Because most things you pay for with your credit card, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, why do I don't need to save my Time Warner bills, my electric bills, and everything else? What do I have to prove?
Please consult your tax advisor.
Oh, really? Well, what do you do? Do you save
I consult
it?
My tax advisor.
But do you save your electric bills?
I do save some of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah? Just for records, right?
Yeah, of course. My wife saves it. She saves everything. She's the record keeper. If it was me, I'd pay it and toss it. But she takes care of all of that.
My wife is great at losing things. She's a genius. She'll eventually find them. And she's been pretty organized lately. I tell you, she facilitated this whole move. We got a lovely letter from our friend in Wyoming, Penelope.
Our good friend Penelope.
Sure. Yes. Hey, and you guys, feel free to share your thoughts if you want. It's sedition at sedition@airamericaradio.com. And if you want to call 866-303-2270 to chit-chat, we're open to that. We've only got a few more days. But Penelope has been one of the greatest fans that we've had. She is always, from the beginning, she has sent us stuff from Wyoming, little cowboys and boots and postcards and pictures he's taken and CDs. She had little little bowls made for all of us so we could all eat breakfast together. You know what's funny about it? We use them. We actually use them. We eat breakfast out of the little bowls.
Yep.
But here we go. She sent us, look at this flowery paper. Friends are the flowers that bloom in life's garden, Riley. See the stationery?
Wow. That's beautiful.
Oh, man, I didn't even see there was more stuff on the back. Oh, my God. Oh, that's her favorite stuff. Dear Morning Sedition, it was sheer luck I came across your show for the first time. It's not every day you hear the president called a turd and the administration a bunch of asses. I looked at the radio and little cartoon hearts bugged out of my eyes. Thanks for teaching a hayseed like me the truth for dummies. I can hold my own pretty good now in conversations with people of opposing views, not to mention all the great books, programs, and websites I've been exposed to. The People's History, It Can't Happen Here, Dick the Man Who Was President, What's the Matter with Kansas, The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, Raw Story, The Center for American Progress, Mother Jones, Operation Truth, AnySoldier.com, SaveDarfur.com, and many others. I have to say, you're all good people, smart, honest, informed, passionate, and you have made me laugh so hysterically I embarrass myself. Well, gentlemen, I reckon this is it. I will miss the comedy and rapport of Morning Sedition that keeps me from tearing my hair out. But I look forward to the independent incarnations of the Riley Show in New York and the Marin Show in L.A. I will always be in debt to Morning Sedition for making a difference in my life and for America. She actually wrote, I'm starting to tear up a little.
Uh-oh.
How can you not love somebody who uses the word shoot?
Shoot, yeah, right.
I'm starting to tear up a little, and she's from Wyoming, so it's got integrity. It's an authentic shoot. This is not a fake shoot. I think I'll plug in a few episodes of DS9 and start decorating the tree. Hey, if any of you ever pass by this, if ever any in this part of the world, you should give me a call. My husband and I will take you horseback riding up in the snowy range, I think it is. I'm not sure which range it is. It'll blow your mind, she says. Thanks for everything, you guys, and best of luck in all your endeavors. Your pal, Penelope. And she sent, of course, she sent some chocolate and some cowboy coffee and all kinds of interesting little knickknacks from the oh my God, Aaron, the methadone guy, is on the phone.
Really?
Yeah. He sent an email this morning. He wrote yesterday that it's going to be hard for him to go through both withdrawals. How does he sound, John? Is he okay? Yeah? Is he okay? Yeah. Let's put him on. Aaron, how are you, buddy? You all right?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the nice email. Are you doing okay? You sound like, it sounds like life is a little straining for you.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm on my way to the clinic right now.
Yeah? You sound pretty good.
Well, January 15th is the last day. And I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I'm getting, like, majorly depressed now. I don't know what I'm going to do on the way.
Well, lucky you're on methadone. It might ease that a little bit.
It's so low now that it's just painful.
Well, you know, you'll get through it, man. You know, it's like you're doing the right thing. Sometimes that's what you have to do. And we'll be back on the air. I'll be back on the air in Los Angeles, and you can always shoot me an email through my website. I'll write you back.
It's going to stream on the Internet, right?
I hope so. You know, we're trying to hammer out what it's going to be and what it's going to look like, but I'll be around for you, man.
Well, I hope so. I just wanted to give a shout-out, man.
Okay. Well, thanks, Aaron. Take care of yourself,
Aaron.
And be careful.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Okay, take it easy. That's very nice. Hey, look at this, dude. How is this? Is this great? Bob Dylan will be hosting his own weekly radio show on XM Radio. Enough said.
Yeah.
How great is that going to be? Bob Dylan? It'll feature music picked by Dylan and hopefully a lot of verbal noodling, I'm saying, by one of the great lyrical verbal noodlers in the history of music. You ever heard that guy talk? Did you read that book? Yeah. But he drifts around. I mean, I read that book, the memoirs book.
Yeah.
And it was very engaging. If you love Dylan, you got to read that book because you just go through this journey in his brain. And he jumps around from period to period. Sometimes the narrative breaks apart, but it's Dylan, and he can be very funny. I'm very curious to hear this, and I'm not plugging XM or anything else, but you know that's got to be interesting just to hear Bob Dylan noodle on because he rarely talks. He's such a cryptic, weird guy. Did you see that interview on 60 Minutes?
I didn't watch
that. He barely talked.
Really? But,
so now he's got to host a radio show, and the pressure's on, or maybe it will be like, well, this one... I got a
20 past the hour.
I used to have this record. My kid told me, I don't know, we got to play it. Yeah, it's going to be good. How can that be bad? 15 past, Air America Radio's morning. Hey, folks, before we go, I just want to tell you, Susan Sarandon will be here later. We're very excited. There's rumors that she might do a scene with us. 15 past, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Terry Jones. greetings from Monty Python, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. They're not the Messiah, they're very naughty boys on Air America Radio.
Twenty past the hour. It's Mark Maron here. It's Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Yes, you are.
We got about three more shows, including this one later in the show. We're going to have Susan Sarandon on, who hopefully will play along with us. She's going to do some. She might help us out with a comedy bit. That's what I hear.
Are we paying scale?
No. Are we paying anything? I don't know, man. I'll tell you. So look, we got another. We got a tower of sugar from this guy, Chris. I want to thank him for that. He writes, thank you so much for a wonderful 20 months. I will miss you guys tremendously. All good things for the future. Literally, one of those towers, like box after box, keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, just sugar and candies and popcorn. Could be a woman. I'm sorry. It could be either, Chris. I apologize. I don't know what gender, but I do want to thank you for the candy.
Wow. What is it with all the sweet? Everybody sends something sweet.
Well, not this woman, Roxy in Seattle. Hey, Roxy, thank you for the lox. That was very nice.
Roxy sent lox.
We're still eating it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was great. Are you kidding? Dan Pashman comes in early to eat the lox. He's not even on this show anymore, and all of a sudden he shows up at about 8:30. You go, is there still lox left? And he goes out and buys bagels.
I have a friend that was lived out here for a while, then she moved back to New York, and I came to visit her one time, and I said, well, what should I bring you? Should I bring you some apples? She said, we got apples.
Yeah, exactly.
Like crazy. And she said, no, bring lox. I said, lox to New York City? What, are you kidding?
Right.
And I said, no, it's Pacific salmon.
It's different lox out there, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I've been to Seattle, and all of that salmon stuff is just so, it's wonderful. Doesn't even smell like fish.
Well, thank you so much. We had a great time. Now, you're awake, huh?
Oh, I'm always awake. I work nights.
Oh yeah, did I meet you out there when I came out there?
Yeah, a couple times. The first time I ruined your CD.
Oh, you were the pharmacist, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, God. I was a little drunk the first show I went to, and I yacked too much.
No, you're fine. That CD might come out someday. I just talked to the guy. We did the cover art. We got the liner notes, so hopefully it'll be out soon. And I'll be up there again because my wife's from there. And thank you for the little pharmaceutical cat toys. They came in handy too. But thank you.
I'm glad to hear you found Hissy a good home.
Oh yeah, I did. I did actually. And now I've just got the Fonda, and she's a different cat without the other cats. You know about cats, right?
Yeah.
So now I brought monkeys out there in Los Angeles.
How's he doing?
I don't know. He's freaking out, apparently. My wife said he's still under the bed. The other two cats are busting on him. Is that going to end?
Yeah. Yeah, but, she might want to put him... Is he in the bedroom? Is he shut in there?
No, she shuts him in the bathroom when he has to go to the bathroom and to eat, apparently, and give him some affection. She separates him. Should we keep him separated or permanently?
No, not permanently. Just for a while. And she should kind of hand-feed him and stuff,
Okay, all right.
He'll calm down.
Okay, thanks a lot.
But, when you really have to do this L.A. thing, this show.
Yeah, no, I'm planning on it. We're trying to hammer it out now.
This isn't about you, Mark.
I know.
It's about us.
I know. I want to be there. I enjoy the medium. I enjoy. I'm so happy that everybody digs the comedy and digs the show. I'm completely looking forward to it. We're just trying to hammer out the details now. It should be resolved by the end of the week.
Okay.
Okay, Roxy.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care, Roxy.
Bye bye.
You too.
What?
Bye.
Okay. Bye. speaking of animal behavior, there's a story. Did you see this story, Riley? About some woman did research. An animal behavioralist, this woman, Patricia Simonette, developed she did research, and she's found that when dogs pant, like right before, you like take them out for a walk or before they eat, where they're like, that they're actually laughing. They're actually laughing. And what she did to prove this was she recorded that. Her initial experiment was to record this and try to stifle animals' fear in animal shelters.
Yeah.
So she recorded this panting, played it in an animal shelter to a bunch of dogs that were going nuts, and when they heard the... They all shut up and just stood there like they were at a Dane Cook concert.
Well, what happened? Somebody did stand-up? Dog stand-up?
It's dog stand-up, kind of, except there's no punchlines or no... All it takes in dog stand-up is just like... It would be as if I was just to go...
and everybody else thought.
Yeah, and everyone else just quieted down until they all started going...
I got a question for her, though.
What?
Did she do anything with pit bulls? Because I've seen pit bulls panting, and if they were laughing before they bit somebody, I don't know what the deal is with them.
What do you mean? That happens all the time. Don't you see movies? Exactly. That was pretty good, man. These are just cartoon noises. That, you know, I just realized something, though. If a comic did get on stage and just started going, that eventually people would just, like, they'd be sort of weirded out, but they'd all start laughing eventually, wouldn't they? It's infectious. But they found that out. You want to talk about this other thing, too, this other animal story? This thing's mind-blowing. It's not mind-blowing, but at a screening of King Kong
In New Zealand. Yeah,
in the home country of Peter Jackson, the director, the theater started shaking at this crucial point in the film when there was a barrage of special effects, and for a few minutes the audience thought it was part of the movie until it became apparent that it was an earthquake, a tremor, all right? And here's as a testament to how good this movie might be, the audience waited it out.
Yeah.
The tremor went on for like 3 or 4 seconds, and they all just sort of went, uh-huh. And they stayed in their seats, and they watched the rest of the movie.
Wow, without being told.
Yeah, but I've been in an earthquake before, and I'll tell you, the last thing you want to do is go running out of the room. But I was in my underwear, and it was 4:30 in the morning. It was in Los Angeles. I was on the 8th floor of a hotel. I told that story a long time ago. Yeah, and you felt that. Well, you felt that ground. You hear the
ground shake, yeah.
Dude, it's awful, man. It's like the entire building was shaking. You hear the noise, the rattling of the frames, and you hear the plates of the earth shifting. And my first thought was like, is it done? I got to go back to sleep.
I've only experienced one of those, and that was here in New York some years ago. And the only reason why I knew it was a tremor was because it started car alarms all over the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I felt it, but then I said, I'm drugged. You know, I was bombed at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Right.
But then the next thing you know, you hear siren after siren after siren. Wait a minute, that's not just me. Yeah. And I turned on the radio news
right.
And heard that there was, in fact, a tremor.
There was an article a while back about how that New York is actually situated for a huge earthquake. What a disaster that would be.
Oh,
that would be unbelievable. But the weird thing was, is I had this moment where the earthquake hit and it was bad, and I'm in my underwear, and I'm like, I should go outside. I'm supposed to go outside. And I'm like, well, should I put my pants on or not? And I realized that just by thinking about it, I could have put my pants on. There's some part of me that wanted just to go outside my underwear and go, what's going on? But I'm so glad I put my pants on because everyone else was fully dressed, and it would have been really awkward if I was standing out there in my underwear. But look, that's neither here nor there. Don't we have important issues to talk about? Let's talk about
Ford's out of the hospital.
He was in and out quick. Apparently,
yeah.
What he
horrible
had.
Cold.
But he's old, dude.
He's 92.
92 years old, wow. Gerald Ford, and he was in the hospital for not even falling down. That guy, Chevy Chase, destroyed that guy.
Yeah,
really,
sure
for,
did.
Forever. Gerald Ford.
The best thing he did was he didn't do an impersonation. He was just Chevy Chase, and he said, I'm Gerald Ford.
I'm Gerald Ford, and he would fall down. I used to love when Chevy Chase fell down when I was younger. Hey, so let's talk about a rock a little bit. It's pretty disturbing, but it's important. It's 27 past. 866-303-2270 if you want to say hello. Tradition at Air America Radio if you want to say goodbye. We'll be back in a second. 27 past.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
All right, 34 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We keep that playing for a minute. That's such a... It brings me back to high school, man. Oh, man. We've only got like 3 shows left. Hey, Mark in Switzerland, take it easy, buddy, will you? One of our big fans out there. He's posting madly on the blog and out there in the... You don't quite know what's going on here, buddy, but just don't drive yourself crazy, will you? Interesting letter. Look, Rob, you too, take it easy. Thanks for the email. I can't go into it right now, but a very heartfelt, nice email. Kindred spirit. Appreciate you listening out there, Rob in Phoenix. Thanks for the email. Hey, this is another request we've been getting, Crimmings. Everyone's sort of asking us, why can't they get a picture of the fellas? Crimmings. Hey, buddy, can we take a picture of everybody and put it on the blog on the website thingy so people can take a look at us? Can we do that? Because people have been
asking.
That's
not hard to do.
I know. Well, there's a lot of things that aren't hard to do that we should have done and we can't. Like Susan Sarandon's coming in today. Can we get a picture of me and her together? Would that be all right? Thank you very much.
Pictures.
No pictures, please. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can. Oh, by the way, somebody has just asked me out there in the world, who is doing the opening scream? LJ in Oregon, going to miss you, Mark. I'm disabled and been getting up for the live show from day one. Wow. That is Homer Simpson, my friend.
No, that's actually me. I do it every morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. My mistake. I just wasn't paying attention. It's Kalo Lopresto in the booth screaming like that. Could you do it once for us right now? That's pretty good. That was close enough. See, I called you on your little joke, didn't I? Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have an iNews Y5 5000 headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines. Man, Friday's going to be sad, isn't it? I hope not. I hope it's going to be okay. From ABC News, Bush, race not a factor in Katrina response. Bush, race not a factor in Katrina response. Translation. Bush, discrimination based solely on poverty. From Minneapolis Star Tribune, Minnesota named America's healthiest state. How can that be possible? Minnesota named America's healthiest state. Translation, ironically, Land O'Lakes avoids butter.
I can do that.
Thank you. That's good. I'll decide when the joke dies bad enough for a rim shot. Thank you.
That state's real healthy. You see the way Al Franken walks?
What happened to him?
Yeah.
Oh. And Al Franken's sort of a strange penguin-shaped guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's healthy, but the report says it. From the Associated Press, mice created with human brain cells. We covered that yesterday. Mice created with human brain cells. Translation. Next step, three fingers and white gloves. And then it would be... Why is it so loud? I think I just blew my eardrum with that. Why is it so loud, Chris? Aren't you in charge of this thing? Baghdad. Let's shift awkwardly into something heinous. Baghdad has been a bloodbath leading up to the elections tomorrow, Riley. On the last day of campaigning in Iraq before the elections tomorrow, four U.S. soldiers from Task Force Baghdad were killed by a roadside bomb northwest of the city. Apparently, 12 of the 15 soldiers who have died since December 8th have been killed in the Baghdad area, this bringing the total number of Americans killed to 2,149. This place is out of control, man. They took out a guy, Sunni Arab candidate, this guy Meshir al-Dulami, gunned down like putting gas in his car in Ramadi. It is out of control. They gunned him down at the gas station. A Shiite politician escaped a bomb blast near his convoy just south of Baghdad. But maybe this thing will come off somehow. Tomorrow the Iraqis are supposed to choose a 275-member parliament to serve for the next 4 years. And apparently a large number of the Sunni population who boycotted the elections in January are going to get out and vote. What do you anticipate happening there, Riley?
I anticipate relative peace, and only for one reason. When I say relative peace, I'm talking about the comparative absence of violence.
Right.
The reason for that is several militant organizations, including the Islamic Army in Iraq and Al-Qaeda in Iraq, have said that they will not be attacking polling stations. They're not going to disrupt the voting.
That's insane. And the other thing that's pretty insane to me is that the leader of the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq told about 1,000 tribal leaders in Baghdad that the military wing of his group, the Badr Brigade, all right,
yeah,
these are the militias, right? They will help out with election security. And he says they're 200,000 strong. They're going to disperse all over Iraq. That's sort of like the Hells Angels doing security at Altamont, isn't it?
Yeah, that could turn out to be a little problematic if they try to interfere with Sunnis voting. Now, many of the larger Sunni groups, and remember that Sunnis boycotted the last election, many of the larger Sunni groups now have said, that they have encouraged their people to go out and vote. But then you read a story that the Interior Ministry is trying to figure out. They found a tanker truck full of ballots that apparently came from Iran.
God, what is this, Ohio?
Yeah, exactly. Who's running this one? Diebold got there early this time?
I guess
or something?
So. I guess Ken Blackwell's in charge of the Iraq elections as well.
But I'll tell you what, you know who I smell behind that?
Who?
Ahmad Chalabi. Who else has got really close ties with the Iranians?
Yeah, well, who else? Al-Sistani's got close ties with the Iranians.
Al-Sistani does, yeah, but Chalabi wants to be. And I think he wants to be the prime minister or the president of Iran.
Can you believe that guy, the guy who was a stooge for this country and getting the intelligence that went to the fake intelligence that brought us into this war, is still a player in this thing? I don't know how the hell that happens. I guess that once a political operative, always a political operative, but there's nothing Americans could do to get him out, but it just shows who is in cahoots with this administration, with the neocon death cult, and how far they can go without paying any price whatsoever, given that this is the guy that helped facilitate this war based on lies, and he's now going to be the prime minister of Iraq. I guess it only makes sense when
he's not. We don't know if he's going to, because there's a, you know, there's an election and a lot of people running, but I mean, he is one of the guys. And there's some Americans involved in this whose names we won't drop. But, you know, there's still money missing. Billions upon billions of dollars that was supposed to go to the reconstruction of Iraq is missing.
I'm assuming a couple of those dollars are mine. I'd like to hold them accountable. Where's my money?
Yeah, it'd be an interesting question. What happened to all of those plates of money? You know, the
duffel bags
full of money.
Yeah.
Forklift things full of money. I mean, there was money.
Yeah.
And it's gone. Where is it?
Bricks of money.
Yeah, bricks of dough.
Bricks of dough. Well, that's what happened. They pillaged the place in the first coalition government that the Paul Bremer facilitated. God knows how much of that stuff to go just into the hands of contractors.
And what did he get?
To write home.
What did he get? A Medal of Freedom or something?
What he got was this guy. He facilitated the original pillaging of the country, and there's no reprisals there either. These guys just keep getting. He's probably making hundreds of thousands of dollars on the speaker circuit right now.
I would imagine he probably is. And some of these guys make Jack Abramoff look like a piker by comparison.
I don't know if this stuff will ever come out, though. Here's the sad thing. Apparently, some of the fallen American soldiers are being disrespected by the U.S. military. The bodies of soldiers killed in Iraq are being shipped back to their families air freight, my friends. Air freight, all right? Air freight. No flag, no color guard. They're being flown home with the other baggage on commercial flights. Can you imagine that? You're a parent waiting for the body of your child. I mean, parents of soldiers are amazed and saddened when they are informed that their dead child will be coming air freight. I can't, you know, how much disrespect can these guys be capable of? I mean, shame on this administration and the military for yet another heinous act of disrespect. That's what I say.
Freight.
Just air freight. I mean,
freight.
And despite the fact that this is a president that has never attended a military funeral, that they don't allow photographs of caskets, just the idea of parents going to the airport, going to air cargo, to pick up their child who has been killed in the war at air freight. You know, some other families there picking up their dog.
You know what they're doing? They're creating more Cindy Sheehans. That's what they're doing.
Well, that would raise the awareness of how much this administration, the neocon death cult, disrespects the soldiers just by virtue of how they're treated after they come back from the war in a box on United Cargo or maybe Air American Cargo. I mean, how about a military jet? I'll tell you, when I was a kid, Riley, my father was in the Air Force. We lived in Anchorage, Alaska, and used to be able to hop one of these freighters, one of these freight planes, military cargo planes.
C-130s?
I don't remember. I was like 7. But we used to fly to New Jersey and then to visit my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I remember we were flying back to Alaska, and must have been 69 or 70, and there were body boxes on the plane.
From Vietnam.
Yeah, from Vietnam. And I remember that just blowing my mind, because when you're 7, you're sitting there going, oh, my God. And you're just seeing these boxes. But at least the military was delivering them in the proper way, and they were given the color guard, and they were put flags were put on them once they arrived. But this is heinous. This is something an irresponsible corporation does.
Well, you know what's amazing about this? Because this story was broken by San Diego TV station KGTV, and when they asked the Defense Department, like, why are you doing this? They had no explanation. None.
They're just trying to cut corners.
They didn't. I mean, you know, a representative for the Defense Department said she did not know why this is happening.
Yeah.
Now, I assume that means that maybe they'll have to change the policy, but you got to ask yourself, why was this in place to begin with?
Yeah.
How do you say that you respect and honor the sacrifice? What was it? 2,100 some odd American soldiers have died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all of them may have been subject to this kind of indignity, but none of them should be subject. Their families should not be subject to this.
Well, it's just like them signing those condolence letters with a machine. It's just the transgressions of a corporate a government that doesn't care.
And a government who is so far removed from its people that they cannot feel what the people in this country feel and cannot, I don't think, comprehend what it must be like to be subject to that kind of indignity.
Yeah. So let's, in a couple minutes, let's go through a list of of looking back at the 1,000 days of the Iraq War. And also, it seems like people are emailing Sedition at Air America Radio. Yes, Bonzo, thank you for being a blogger for so long, and I'll let you know when the new show is on. So if you want to, you know, say hello or say goodbye, you can call at 866-303-2270 or email at sedition@airamericaradio.com. 45 past, it's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
On Air America Radio. Another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
And now, the Morning Sedition old-time radio players present this installment of Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
This week, with Mark Maron and Mark Riley gone, the remaining producers, writers, and characters from Morning Sedition gather for an important summit.
So, what do you guys feel like doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, let's dig through Maron's stuff.
Yeah!
Is that membership card? Oprah's Book of the Month Club? Oh, man.
Hey, look, Cardinal Milfington found a CD.
It's labeled Mark's Private Mix. Undoubtedly a perverted compilation for long car trips. To hell.
Put it in the CD player.
I can't believe you work with this guy.
Hey, wait. What did Lawton Smalls find?
Hey, right here, I got a letter here from Fox TV. Dear Mr. Maron, thank you for submitting an audition tape for the host position on American Idol. Unfortunately, we have to pass.
Well, that's not surprising.
Wow, Mark has a secret life.
A secret wimpy life.
Let's go through Riley's stuff.
Yeah!
Wow, here's a picture of Riley and Diana Ross. It's signed, Baby Love, Last Night Was So Intense, I Just Wanted to Scream Stop in the Name of Love. You inspire me in and out of bed.
That FedEx envelope smells like pot.
The note says, to my OG, when are we going to finish your CD? Signed, Snoop.
Riley is off the hook. Who knew?
I'll bet you're all wondering what I found.
Not really.
Hey, let's go through Wayne Gilman's stuff.
Yeah!
Hey, I found a gun.
I found a list with all our names on it.
Guys, Wayne isn't on vacation.
This is Wayne Gilman.
Wayne's crazy! Please stop!
Ready for another taste of Wayne?
No more! Not again!
Radio theater announcer guy, please help us.
This has been another edition of Morning Sedition Radio Theater. Oh, hello, Wayne.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
I never heard that.
Me neither.
We're sitting here laughing like, I never heard that. When did that happen?
The role of Wayne Gilman was played by the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Oh, yes. Or you.
Or me.
It's not clear to Al Franken which black guy is which.
Which is which?
52 past the hour. So when did you guys do that? When the hell did that happen?
Yeah, really.
What was that?
It was when you guys were on vacation.
Oh, that was funny, man. So let's wait. There's a couple of is there any good phone calls? Wow, there's a lot of them. Maybe we should wait. You want to wait on them? We got Sarandon coming up. Susan Sarandon, that would be. She's going to hang out. That was Mark Riley. You okay,
Thank
buddy?
Thank you. I'm all right.
A classic cough from Mark Riley. What are we doing? Oh, I know what I'm doing. I want to read this. This is from the from editor and publisher. This is from, I guess it was published. Where was this published? The Independent.
The Independent,
in London.
Patrick Colbert.
Yeah, it's a list to mark what's called the 1,000 Days of the Iraq War. Here are some of their calculations in terms of looking back. $204.4 billion is the cost to the U.S. of the war so far. Right now, we're at 2,339 Allied troops killed, but that's not quite right. You got to add a few. You got to add like 12 American troops and a couple. Right now, the American troop count is at 2,100. 1,549. 15,955 U.S. troops wounded in action so far. Wow, that's a big number. 98 British troops killed, 30,000 estimated Iraqi civilian deaths, and that number varies. That's the number that George Bush used the other day. In some places, that number gets up to 100,000 in certain speculations by researchers. I sort of have put it in the middle somewhere at around 80. That is, and it's difficult in these counts, Riley, to determine whether or not the Iraqis that were killed, how are they labeling them? Are they insurgents? I mean, enemy combatants or civilians? That gets pretty hazy, but it's got to be way higher than 30,000.
Well, I'll tell you, Bush acknowledged 30,000, which was kind of a revelation, I think, for a lot of people, because he had refused to actually put a number on Iraqi fatalities, nor was anyone in the American military. For a long time. Remember, Tommy Frank said, we don't count Iraqi civilian casualties. That was some time ago. So, at a point, we do not know how many Iraqis have been killed, but when you figure, let's take the low end. Let's take 30,000 over, about a 2-year period? That's a lot of people getting killed. Yeah, a lot of people.
It's a real lot, especially since you don't see that much covered on it. You know, this is another scary number. 66 journalists have been killed in Iraq, and that is over. There was only 63 journalists killed during the Vietnam War, and they were out in this, you know, they were with the soldiers a lot more in the Vietnam War. This particular conflict, Iraq and any modern conflict, has really stifled the ability of the press to operate as freely as they once did. So it almost seems like they were being targeted. I hate to say that, but that certainly has been supposed before.
Well, yeah, and, you know, one of the numbers that I would question here is this number of Iraqi insurgents. 53,000?
Wow.
That's been hidden from sight here in America.
But that's one of those weird, foggy numbers where it's like, how do they know who's an insurgent, who isn't an insurgent, who's a civilian? I mean, you've got people that think they're all the same over there.
Well, yeah, and the question of whether or not, for example, they were civilians that happened to be in a place where there were insurgents, so everybody got lumped in as an insurgent. We don't know how many there
are. Right, but if a guy just picks up and throws a brick at a tank, is that an insurgent or is that just an angry guy? We've got an interesting call here. Jim in Atlanta. Atlanta, you got what's going on?
Hey Jim,
we don't got a lot of time. What's going on, Jim?
Hello.
What do you got, Jim?
I got I just took a trip on Delta.
Yeah.
And I sat next to a soldier.
Yeah.
And they gushed over him, and came over the speaker and said, "Thank you for defending our freedom."
Yeah.
And as I was getting off the plane, he stood in front of me, and they were unloading a box that looked like a coffin.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say to him, I hope you don't come back in one of those.
Wow. It
made me sick the way they gushed over him. And
then they just had him in a dead soldier, probably in air freight there.
Yeah, it was just really ridiculous.
Well, thanks for calling, Jim. It's a sad moment where you have that
kind of juxtaposition.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly the word I was looking for. Thanks for sharing that with us, Jim. Susan Sarandon is going to be here in a little while. We've also got Slander Minute coming up today.
Uh-oh.
We'll do the Cliff Notes in a while. If you want to call us, 866-303-2270. I'll take some calls over the top of the hour, and you can email us at Sedition at Air America Radio. It's 57 past, Morning Sedition. All right, 6 past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
How are you, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives? Nice to have you. We're getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls. We're going to address some of those. Here's one from Becky in Atlanta. Hey, guys, I love you all. I've never listened to a radio show with the zeal that I have for Morning Sedition. Never. Every other funny radio show I've ever heard was a bloviating right-wing make-fun-of-sissy-boys type show. gag. Thank you. All the best to you. We'll be waiting impatiently for Mark's next incarnation. Thank you, Becky. A lot of people, we'll get to some more of those in a second. Just paying a little tribute to the fans. Also, Aaron, who called earlier, dude, you didn't screw the call up. You were just fine. Take it easy. Quit beating yourself up. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. XM Satellite Radio has announced Bob Dylan will host a radio show on the network starting in March. Dylan will offer regular commentary on music and other topics, usually through the well-worn technique of incomprehensible mumbling. An animal behaviorist says that the excited panting sound dogs make while playing is the equivalent of human laughter. The laugh sound starts when the dogs play or anticipate a walk. It stops immediately whenever Carlos Mencia is on Comedy Central. Oh, man. One of the things that really makes dogs laugh is the look on humans' faces when they're humping their legs. It turns out they don't do it because they're in heat. They do it because it cracks them up. Behaviorists say that any animal that looks at you straight in the eye while they poop on the sidewalk has to be able to laugh. You do, really. The shame there, you know. Brokeback Mountain, about a gay romance between two cowboys, has garnered 7 Golden Globe nominations, the most of any film this year. The film is controversial, but not nearly as controversial as an earlier draft of the screenplay with the working title, Bareback Mountain. Bareback Mountain. Bareback, you know, without a condom. Bareback? Nothing? Gay activists say this is a big leap forward. It's a critically praised film about a gay romance where the leads don't even have to die of AIDS. There's a little bit of truth in that. Yeah, there's a little bit of truth there. That's what makes funny good, is when there's a little truth in there. Like the bareback mountain, that did nothing because there was no truth. It was just a no condom joke, you know, but the other one had to... You guys are horrible. I'm done with you people. I'm done with you, Chris. You know, I liked you a minute ago, but now I feel sick, and it's because of you, and I no longer think it was the right thing for you to come into work with the flu. All right, before I was all lovey-dovey, no more. All right, now it's your fault. And the Oswald Adam, that Adam stuff is not even going to... I don't know, man. You know what the problem is? I'm freaked out and I'm anxious about this whole thing coming down. I'm afraid I'm going to cry on Friday. Last night I ate 2 pieces of pizza. All right, this is no big deal, but I went and I stuffed them in my face, not happy eating, just sort of like, you know, fill the hole eating, and then I got an eggplant roll as well, and then I had a chocolate chip cookie and some lentil soup and some leftover Thai food. See, now that's where I'm at.
In the span of how many hours? Or that, minutes?
23 minutes. I timed it.
23 minutes you ate and 2 slices of pizza, an eggplant roll, lentil soup, and a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I know. It's pretty good.
Sure is.
Yeah. I don't think I won, though. The other guy was way ahead of me. You know, I do these contests in my house for people just outside. I'm like, you want to go? And they come in. We just line the food up. It's sad, but it's fun.
Are you still a naked guy to your neighbors? You must be naked crazy guy. You have nothing in your apartment.
I'm naked crazy guy. Nothing in my apartment. I go into the kitchen. Yeah, I'm naked. And I know the woman across the way that could look at me naked is there laying in bed, insomniac person, because she's watching TV when I get up at 3:30. So I think I just want to mix things up for her. That kind of like dancing up there. Yo!
Oh, Lord.
Hey! Let me help your ailment. All right, we should let me take one call and then we'll do the thing. How about Stephanie in Madison, Wisconsin? How are you, Stephanie?
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey guys. I'm going to miss you so much.
We're going to miss you too.
Oh man, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
In the show, I really am pissed.
Yeah, yeah, I am pissed too. I'm pretending not to be though, for professional reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Daddy, you know, it's amazing that you guys can keep it. You know, you've known about this for a month, and you know, for you to keep it together. I mean, this show, I have had so many laughs.
You should hear the show in the break, Stephanie.
Yeah, really.
Not exactly keeping it together.
when we're off the air in the breaks, that's a whole other show.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I mean, my husband goes to work at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And
that's what he says.
Yeah. Those little insecurities.
No. Okay, yeah. So listen, you're up early.
Listen, I really love your show.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sure the suits at Air America have nothing but, you know, I mean, you guys have said, you know, that Air America's been good to you and everything,
yeah.
And you don't want to knock it. I mean, in that stupid cliche about, you know, the one thing that's inevitable is change, but, man, you know, I think about the Bush administration and I'm wondering, you know, to me, this is a big mistake that they're taking this show off the air.
You think the Bush administration's infiltrated the Air America suits level?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think the Bush administration has infiltrated Air America?
I'm wondering. I mean, will they be able to finish a mistake? You know?
I'm going to have to go take a look around the office. Thanks for bringing that up. You just sparked a whole new conspiracy for me.
Hey.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks for listening. In.
All right. Take care.
All right, take care,
bye-bye.
Stephanie.
Oh, that's sweet. So
she's not the first one to say that, though.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they think some people think there's a mole here that's like taking us down from the inside. Brian in Taiwan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, Brian?
Great. A lot of us out here in Taiwan and Japan think, Mark, you've already got the best evening show around.
Excuse me. What? How many are there out there? Do you guys all meet and listen?
Oh, there's quite a few of us. I know in Taiwan there's a few, and on the blog a lot of people from Japan and I talk all the time.
Yeah, one guy from Japan sent us some candy, some very funny candy the other day. Sean, I think his name is.
Hey, Melty Kisses are good.
No, they are good. They have green tea in them. They're pretty good, but I haven't eaten the cornflakes yet.
Yeah, what's up with the cornflakes, Brian?
Oh, we have one here called Cereer.
Cereer?
Yeah,
oh,
breakfast,
no.
Breakfast morning Cereer.
Oh, that's weird. Oh. What time are we on there, man?
In Taiwan, it's a little after 8, 12 minutes after 8 in the evening.
Really? Yesterday or tomorrow?
13 hours ahead, it would have, wouldn't it?
I think today.
Oh, it's today. Okay, good, good. I just wanted to know.
They didn't send you any pro sweat? That's a popular drink in Japan.
Pro sweat? No.
Sweat.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because usually in America we keep the sweat out of the title. We want to encourage sweating, but we don't want to put it in. All right, thanks, Brian. Thanks for listening. Appreciate
your
call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Okay, lots of love to you guys.
Thanks a lot. Take it easy. A couple of weeks ago, it's actually like 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Washington Post reported that Al-Qaeda had begun producing Western-style newscasts for the Internet, complete with an anchor in ski mask and a gun pointed at the camera. Well, folks, our crack investigative squad managed to get another advanced copy of the next broadcast, so here's the latest disturbing dispatch from Al-Qaeda News.
From across the nation, around the world, and under a burqa, this is a special holiday edition of Al-Qaeda News with hosts Mohammed and Mahmoud.
Merry Christmas, infidels.
It will be your last.
I am Mohammed.
I am Mahmoud.
Tonight's top story. U.S. talk of troop withdrawal from Iraq.
No, you can't leave now. We have recruiting stations there now. We tried to set them up in New York City, but, oh my God, the rent.
$2,000 for a fourth-floor walk-up studio in Chelsea, and they call us the terrorists.
On a lighter note, it's Christmas shopping season, and we bought special gift for America. Death!
If it doesn't fit, you can always return it. Now, with a few Christmas shopping tips, is our consumer reporter, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, guys. Happy holidays.
Tina, did you like my Secret Santa gift?
But if I know it's from you, it's not a Secret Santa gift now.
Idiot, you can't keep secret. That's why we never tell you anything important.
You're the idiot.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you're the
come
idiot.
On,
you think that you're so mad.
We pause for commercial. Hey, kids, you want toy? Here is fun toy for you. Blow me up Elmo. Just tickle him and listen.
Die for jihad!
Order yours today. These won't last. Oh, no, and now, back to Al-Qaeda News.
You eat a half banana and leave it in the refrigerator. What kind of idiot does something like that?
I'm finished with half banana. I don't want to eat whole banana.
Hi, this is Tina. If you plan on sending a lot of packages through the mail this season, and I know you do, one way to avoid detection is by using old ribbon from other gifts to dress things up a little. Nothing says, I'm a perfectly innocent package, like a festive Christmas bow. And now, back to Mohammed and Mahmoud.
We're kicking you out of the cell. You don't... Oh, right. That was Al-Qaeda consumer reporter Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
And that is all for Al-Qaeda News. Remember, this Christmas, Santa knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
And so do we.
Bye-bye.
Oh, no. Blow me up.
That's...
Oh, man. Well, we only got a couple more days. Oh, man, that got me, boy. All right, so we're going to have Susan Sarandon's coming up in a few minutes. Well, not a few minutes, but she'll be here eventually. And we got Slander Minute up around the corner, 16 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Hi, this is Reverend Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. If you want to get the truth about the Bush administration's ongoing battle against science and reason, tune in to The War on Brains with Mort Milfington on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Past. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Morning Sedition. Towards the end of it. We've got a few more days, including this day. We've got Susan Sarandon coming in a few minutes. But right now, as we know, the universe is expanding at an increasing rate, and the further away an object is from the Earth, the faster it's moving away from us. It's a good story, but we thought we could spice it up, maybe tweak it a little on today's Morning Sedition Slander Minute. And here now is our slander correspondent, Ted Fields. Ted, what can you add to this story?
Mark, I followed a tip this week that the universe is exploding because of liberals.
What?
Specifically, Mark Maron. But a super secret source indicates you won't be here anymore next week anyway.
Wow, well that super secret source is pretty much anyone in the office.
So I learned instead the universe is decaying because of liberals like Mark Riley.
Hey!
According to my sources, Mark Riley exposed a CIA agent. To be precise, he exposed himself to a CIA agent. Hey, I'm here all week, two shows a night.
Where do you get all these false stories?
Online, at Wikipedia.org.
Man, who puts all these lies on Wikipedia?
I do. And another thing, I looked up Mark Riley and found out he's been scheming behind your back to get you kicked off the show. Here's a recording.
I am Mark Riley.
And I am a shadowy member of Air America's board of directors.
We are making an unholy alliance against Mark Maron.
Mark, I swear to God, that's not me.
Who are you going to believe, God or the Internet?
Yeah, it does sound a little like you, Riley.
Here's another thing I learned on Wikipedia about the universe. Entropy in Mark Riley always increases until eventually he decays into a state of inert uniformity.
That's not me. That's the second law of thermodynamics.
Mark, we're all a little tired of that excuse. Besides, I have another recording. Play it.
I am Mark Riley. I can neither be created nor destroyed.
That's the first law of thermodynamics.
See, that's always your answer, Mark.
Ted, do you have any actual news about anything whatsoever?
Mark, I have it on high authority that when he was a young man, Mark Riley, your soon-to-be former co-host on Morning Sedition, forced himself upon Harold Pinter, the playwright.
Wow. This has been the Slander Minute.
Hey, I wasn't done.
With Slander correspondent Ted Fields.
That's it. Yeah. I'm never coming on this show again.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. You're not. Get out.
That's it.
You're banned from Morning Sedition from here on out.
Forever.
Barry, Ted, Lank, Ted, Lank. What do you think of this, Barry?
Yeah.
Can we break character a little bit?
Yeah, why at this point? Who cares?
What that'll happen to your voice.
I don't know. I've had, you know, it's been very cold in New York, and I've had a cold on and off.
It's been very cold, and I almost got, I took some oscillamine. What is it called?
I
don't even know what you're trying to say.
Come on, man. Come on. It's that Swedish homeopathic magic pills. This stuff.
I've never even seen this before.
Come on, man. You haven't seen it? Wake up.
Oscillococcinum.
You can't say that. Dump that.
Is that wrong? Can any of you smarty pantses pronounce that?
I could sit here for the next 5 minutes and spell it out for the audience.
Look at Krim. He's like, I think I can.
Yes.
I think I can rise to the challenge. Come on, boy genius. You know? Can you? Can you do it?
Linda called earlier to ask about the heat in the studio, and she told me the pronunciation of it, but I completely forgot it.
Thanks
for that update.
You know what? Now look at Riley's going
to
take a shot at it.
Everybody wants to.
I can barely see.
Here's the story, though.
Why would you cancel this show?
Yeah. Hey, Kim, we're groundbreaking radio.
2 hours later.
look at this. A Christmas tree decorated with severed heads are being displayed on East 18th Street. It's a brownstone in front of East 18th Street, and a lot of people are apparently stopping and looking at it. There's a Santa in the window. It has a knife, and there's a bloody doll head. And apparently, I like the way they phrase it in the paper here. They say the family of five who live in the house are said to be non-practicing Jews.
Oh, boy.
That's on New York One.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Non-practicing Jews.
That's great.
Read satanic. Minions of Satan cutting off the heads of dolls and putting them on the sacred tree.
This happened on 18th Street, and where are we? 19th Street.
Oh, let's go have a look at it. Are they playing carols? Are they playing Marilyn Manson music? Police say they can't do anything about the display and have told people who are offended by it to avoid the house. See, there you go. Now, there's some reasonable advice. Hey, are they bothering you? You know what? Walk around the corner.
If you don't like that kind of thing, don't come to New York because it's everywhere.
That's right. There are people running around with bloody doll heads. Right now, Barry's got two in his pocket. That's what we do here.
Well, I'm meeting up with some kids later.
Also,
I'd like to have something in my pocket for the wee ones.
Yeah, I'm sorry, though. The ratio of real gigantic Christmas decorations versus severed doll head bloody Christmas decorations is enormously lopsided in the edge of the real Christmas decorations, especially in this city. I mean, nobody does Christmas like New York City. So,
it's nice, though.
Right, but I'm saying there should be no problem
Let the heathen Jews do what they're going to do. Did you figure out how to pronounce this, Riley? You can...
Oscillocontinuum?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, fine, we'll go with that.
I'll go with that.
Okay, whatever.
But there is some pretty... I got to be honest with you. I was talking to some people from Los Angeles who came to New York for the weekend. They were doing the whole Christmas tour. The windows at Bonwood Tillers are fascinating, oddly. And I literally had that moment where I'm like, did you go see the tree? and I wasn't being mocking. I was going to be like, did you go?
Did you go? Look at that thing.
And you know, they said, yeah, it's just a tree. And I'm like... No, it's not.
It's a tree at Rock Center.
Exactly. It is worth seeing. You have a pronunciation? What is it, Crimmings? Wait, hold it. Let's wait till after the break. Don't tell me I don't know how to do radio. We'll tell you how it's pronounced after the break. 27 past the hour, Morning Sedition. I can't wait.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
What else we got there, Chris?
Oh, Mark, actually we have Future Mark on line one.
Future Mark? Cool, I love that guy.
Hey, buddy, what's
up?
Hey,
buddy, what's up? Always great to hear from you. So what's going on 50 years from now today?
Well, not much. So what year are you on?
It is 2005, my friend.
All right, so didn't Bush just meet with the Saudi oil guy at his ranch?
Yeah, that was this week.
Okay, so you're still using oil then? Well, you only got a couple of years of that left.
Oh, cool. So we figured out a way to stop using oil. That's fantastic.
Dude, don't get too excited. The thing we replaced oil with, quinzanine, much worse, buddy.
What's quinzanine made of?
Well, man, it's complicated. All right, some really bad guys did some incredibly unethical things to a water molecule in a lab owned by the Bush family. I mean, nasty stuff.
Hey, dude, what's going on? I'm losing you here, man. Future Mark, are you there? I'm losing you.
Is that better? I just had to raise the house a little bit.
What? Raise the house? Oh, man, don't tell me you're listening to hip-hop in the future.
No, man. I literally had to raise my house. My antenna was submerged. See, look, all right, let me explain. Within a year of introducing that fuel alternative, quinzanine, the emissions made a big donut hole in the ozone, and the ice caps melted in like 2 weeks. All right? The surfing was awesome. The catastrophic death... not so awesome.
Oh, man.
So with that and the Earth's wobble and all, we get floods every couple of weeks. All the houses are on hydraulic stilts. And, oh, yeah, by the way, hip-hop?
Yeah?
That's so over, man.
Cool.
It's all about the whale songs now.
Whale songs?
Yeah, and it helps that there's usually one swimming in your backyard. You hear that? Oh, crap. That humpback's at my bird feeder again. I just put a new whale shield on it and everything. Man, get out of that feeder, you fat ass.
Oh my God, man! Did you shoot a whale? I mean, aren't they endangered?
God, I wish. Whales are like rats in 2050. They're all over the place.
Oh.
I mean, some people ride them to work now.
Wow. Wow, that's freaking me out a little.
Hey, man, I'm gonna have to go.
Hey, wait! Before you go, anything I need to know?
Okay, sometime next week, a man in a green hat is going to approach you on the street and ask you for the time. You need to punch him in the face and run like hell.
What if I don't?
Did you see the movie The Ring? Just do it.
Okay, I will, buddy. I'll talk to you later, man.
Call you next week. Get out of my yard, you stupid whale!
things are weird for me in the future.
Yeah, I think so.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
All right, 36 past. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Little stuff there. We maybe need some asukakuninum. We're trying to figure out how to pronounce this. And apparently, we're just a bunch of morons. But someone on the phone has a correct pronunciation. There's a couple other people on the phone. We're going to play for you in a few minutes. We're going to play the infamous Wrestling the Republican bit that we did here on Morning Sedition towards the beginning. Look forward to that if you missed that, because we didn't. I think most people know what was real and what wasn't, but I know we only said it once. Maybe people don't know, but it's a great piece. So it's. Do you know how to pronounce this?
I'm going to try Asilosekonum.
That sounds like a word. What I was saying, not even a word. I got Asilosekonum. That's close. What do you got, little Goliath?
I'm thinking Asilocosinum.
Asilocosinum. I don't know. I'm not going to. Some of you guys know it, so I'm not going to let you do it. So let's get. We have somebody on who's going to pronounce it properly. Bridget, how are you?
Hey, Bridget.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I need you to know that I wake up at 4 a.m. every morning to listen to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
And then I stream the last hour because this morning guy starts who, they started him in March. You guys used to be time delayed from 7 to 10, so I never missed a minute. And then,
Yeah.
Hey, what can I say? But I can't miss the show. So anyway, I sent Kalo the email the other day when you said he had the flu, telling him to go get, are you ready?
Yeah.
Asilocosinum.
Asilocosinum. That sounds like a real word.
It's made in France.
I thought it's made in France?
Yeah.
With that kind of name?
Oh, yeah, there it is. Made in France by boron. It says that, boron. Do you know what it is?
It's a homeopathic. Homeopathic medicines are...
it's witchcraft.
what they do to make a homeopathic is they take... an herb or a flower or whatever, and they distill it down to its essence. It's literally, homeopathic medicine is a vibrational medicine. It's down to just the essence of what it is.
Exactly. It's witchcraft. It makes you...
absolutely, it's witchcraft. I mean,
they distill a flower.
I've thrown on the bonfire a couple of times myself.
I don't mind it. I'm giving it a whirl. But it's basically, so they have this secret machine where they put a flower in and they go, and it comes out a liquid, and then they kind of spread it over these little sugar candies.
Right.
Does it work for you? Bridget, does it work for you?
Yeah, I'm taking it right now. I'm not feeling well myself.
How long do you have to take it for? I was told that you do three of them, right? Or do you go...
You'd go three a day until, you're feeling better. And the thing is, with Asilocosinum...
Asilocosinum.
You take it, the very first symptom. You start feeling a little achy, and you're like, uh-oh. And, you keep some at home, so you don't have to...
Right. I think I missed my first symptom. It was when Kalo came into work 3 days ago. That should have been my first symptom. Well, thanks for listening, Bridget. Certainly appreciate it.
I love you guys. I'm going to miss you so much.
Thanks, Bridget.
Bye-bye.
Vibrational medicine?
It's vibrational medicine, Brendan. Just live with it.
All right. I'll get the vibrational treatment when I go to get my cancer treated
next time. Vibrational medicine for cancer.
Yeah. Andy Kaufman got that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that helped him out.
Come on, man. Now, listen to me. I'm singing a different tune. My dad's got me on the adaptogens, but I ran out of them. Maybe that's why I got sick. See, that's what happens when you get into the cycle of nutritional supplements, is that the second you get sick, you're like, it was because I stopped taking that stuff that doesn't do anything. All right, look, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's play this segment. This is a two-part piece where we presented a contest, and we had the contest. So it was all week long we built up to this. Let's do it. But, you know, we've been reaching out to a Republican to come in here and wrestle one of our hosts, and we got a response yesterday. I'm going to read that, refresh your memories if you didn't hear it. Losers. I just heard you call for a Republican to come on your show for a fight. Well, I'm 5'6", 145 pounds, Manhattanite, and glad we take up your offer. And you know what? I'll beat your ass. You know why? Because you liberal Americans are nothing but a bunch of cheese-eating surrender monkeys, and there's no way you'll ever go through with it. I'd love to come down to your show just to see the look on your face when somebody actually takes you up on your empty challenge. By the way, you chickens have no idea what it's like to be fed up. I've been living in the city that I love for 25 years. I'm sick of dealing with liberals like you thinking you can run this city. Remember, Rudy Giuliani equals Republican, David Dinkins equals Democrats. I'll see you in the studio. I can't say what he called us. Dave from Manhattan, registered Republican.
Yeah, punk.
Got another one today. This is Dave's response to an email we sent him trying to get contact info from the last email so he can, you know, come on the show. Nice try, saving face by saying you're going to go through with this wrestling match on the air. But guess what? Mark Moron and Mark Riley, you're full of it. There's no way you're going to actually fight me. I'll be in your studio to prove it. Yeah, Riley, I'll check my neck as long as you don't forget to wear your dress.
Yes.
As for Moron, I shouldn't have a problem with one hand tied behind my back. Dave from Manhattan. And he's got his contact info. So this looks like it's going to happen, dude. So Pashman. Son of Lewis and Linda Pashman from New Jersey, keep an eye on the door. He's here.
Oh, he is here.
This is kind of weird. Oh, hey, man. What's up, man?
Hey, yo.
That's Dave.
How you doing, man?
What?
We're not giving his last name.
All right, all right.
You're not using his last name? How you doing? How you doing, man?
How you doing, man?
You're Mark Maron.
Yeah, I'm Mark Maron. Yeah.
Have a seat,
thanks,
Dave.
Thanks for coming down.
What's up, man?
Are you ready to, what are you ready
to? Yeah, I don't have these on yet. Hang on.
Hey, wait a minute, you know.
Dude.
You do look about 5'6 and 145. You weren't lying about that.
Well, I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that lies. So, you know, that's not my side, remember?
Yeah, that is your side, and that's why we're here. We're going to finish this thing.
Which one of us is going to do this, man?
Yeah. What's the, you know, who do you want?
Well, if I had a choice.
Choose the white guy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no.
Repeating hundreds of years of oppression.
The white guy, if your fighting's as good as your comedy, I'd probably take you.
Dude!
He's getting below the belt now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
You, Mark Riley, you might have given me a good shot like 25 years ago.
I've been working out for the last 25 years just to give you a good shot now.
Well, I hope I don't break your hip or something.
Oh, man, I forgot how tense that was. Some of you might know what's going on, others might not, but he had to take on one of us, but it was definitely a surprise to him which one. We'll give you more of that in just a second. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. It's coming up on 44 past the hour.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead. One time, I was listening to Morning Sedition and Maron started riffing on the Bush administration. And Riley came in with a slamming groove about the right wing's use of the media. Just when you thought it couldn't get any freakier, Maron broke into Scarlet Begonias. What a sick jam. Best show ever. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Asua Kasanam. Morning Sedition. Asua Kasanam. Asua Amo Kasanam. Hey, Dan Pashman's in the house. How are you, buddy? Nice to see you. All right, you just do that with your finger. That's fine. Yeah. That's
what did you want me to do?
That. Maybe talk and not make me leave me hanging like an idiot. Sticking your thumb up in the air.
Yeah. At least it was a thumb.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's clever. Here we go. to cut your laugh off. We're in the middle of replaying that great bit, Pashman and McDonald from the old days where it was before the election. We were baiting Republicans. We were tired of their cocky attitudes. We baited them on the air to come wrestle one of us, and one came in to wrestle one of us, but I think he got a little surprise. Let's listen.
And now, another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
He's three-time World Wrestling Entertainment Champion. Please welcome our guest host for today, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
All right, so what's up, Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
So Mick's going to watch
No,
by you guys.
No, Nick's going to be an active participant. I'm going to kick a little conservative can.
Yeah. How about that?
But I didn't. Well, that's a funny bit. But like, I know you think you're a comedian, but I know that I signed on to, you know, to one of you guys. Right?
Yeah. Does he look funny to you?
Can I ask you a question? Do I look like I'm joking, you condy coddling communist?
All right.
Would you like me to put one hand behind my back? This is all legal, right?
Yeah, it's all legal.
I knew you guys would. Well, you got me down here. We should do something that's actually like a real thing.
Well, why are you being a baby about it?
Come on, man, this can be real.
Why can't we have an October surprise?
You always talk about like O'Reilly and being like an ambush guy. Like this is real ambush.
So it hurts, right? It hurts when it comes from our side, right?
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, this is just like, this is gonna be fun. So what, you're gonna wuss out?
Come on, man.
It appears
as if
he's in wussing out mode right now.
You guys, where's the restroom? No, I mean, like, if this is, like, a real thing, I got to, like...
What, are you going to find your shiv in the toilet stall?
Yeah, really.
All right. Wait, let him go to the bathroom and we'll see if he wants to do this.
Yeah, we'll see if he wants to come.
Dave is a Republican. He came in. We solicited that he's going to fight one of the hosts.
You lied to me.
We didn't lie to you. This is like, he's our guest host for today.
Yes.
Mick Foley's our guest host for today. He's going to be here for the whole hour, and that's the deal.
Right. Well, all right. So that's the deal. So, you know, I'll do it because, you know, I probably won't win, but I'll do it.
No, no.
Yes.
What was that word? Probably.
Yes.
I probably won't win.
This is gonna be what do you want me to do? If I back down, then you guys will make fun of me for
yes,
that.
Yes, we so. Would.
Yes.
Right.
So we're still gonna make fun of you. You just wouldn't be injured.
You're talking like your side doesn't do dirty tricks. You know, you're talking like, you know, like this is like, you know, like some out of the left field thing. You know.
Yeah. Granted, we're using the bait and switch. We baited you with the mark, switched you to Foley, kind of like the president did with Weapons of Mass Destruction and Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Listen, Dave, I don't think you want to do this, man. I really don't. I think you ought to think about it. I know you thought about it in the can, but that was then. I think you need to think about it now.
Right, and you're telling me to do that.
Look at you.
You're telling me to do that, and then I'm gonna think about it, and I'm going to leave, and then you guys have a fun time in here.
Exactly.
No, we're going to do it.
It's okay. Nobody knows your last name.
Hold on a second. Dave, you do understand there will be consequences for your actions or lack thereof, right? You understand I've got a reputation. I'm not going to come on Air America and make a joke out of this thing.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
You do understand you might look a little bit different when you leave.
And there are plenty of blunt objects around here that can help in that regard.
All right, fine. That's...
Oh my goodness, he threw it out of the headphones.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, you bush-loving fool. I'm going to teach you a little lesson here. I'm not going to smack you around. I'm just going to twist your body and wait.
I'll tell you what.
Tell me you love the environment.
All right.
Come on.
No.
Say that every kid deserves a fair shot in this
society.
Say every kid deserves a fair
shot in
Mick, please.
Regardless of how much money it's worth.
No, Mick.
You really hurt.
Hey, Mick, we're going to get somebody in here, Maren. Maren, we got to get somebody.
Dave is back. I thought that we were gonna like.
No, it's okay.
You all right, man?
Yeah, I want to make sure Mick was okay.
Oh,
you all right,
okay,
Mick?
Yeah, man. You see, he is sensitive also.
Okay, cool, man. I just want to make sure we're cool.
We are cool.
All right,
cool.
Yes.
All right, I'll buy the book.
You need Kayla to open the door for you?
No, I'm okay.
You all right? You sure?
I'll get the guy to get my crush.
Hands still work?
Thanks, guys.
I like
being on the show. It was fun.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
That was so sad. It was painful listening to it, and I even knew what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that was before. Well, I'm not going to tip. I mean, a lot of you who listen to the show since then know who that was. But after that, Brendan had never been on.
Yeah.
He had never been on the air before, so no one knew his voice. And we had to pick somebody who'd never known his voice and whose voice wasn't known. And Brendan is a huge wrestling fan. We set this whole thing up. But, man, the blog went crazy. Emails went crazy. They were like, hey, that was wrong. They really hurt that guy. That's not how we want to be represented. Doug Krieger, the old CEO of Air America, thought we'd really hurt somebody and was concerned that there'd be a lawsuit or something, that we'd really done something bad.
I hope he doesn't still believe that. I'm having dinner with him tonight. Maybe I'll make sure he knows that it was a game. But but that was it really got things going, and we didn't let on to it. For what? How many months before we tipped that?
It was quite a while. Until we went on vacation, and I think as a little a bone to people who would listen to our little best ofs during vacation, we teased it.
That we would tell them
we would tell the secret, yeah.
It was amazing how many people didn't know, because it was, listening to it again, it makes me cringe. And I know exactly what was happening. And some guys were writing in right afterwards, oh, that's just wrestling script number 5. That's a classic, you know.
It was really an amazing acting job by Brendan.
I'll say.
Oh, by Mick Foley, too. Yeah. Yeah, he played right along.
He's a professional actor. No offense, Brendan.
He played a wrestler, really. I'm getting nervous to meet Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yeah?
Is that weird?
Why are you nervous? She's a friend of yours, isn't she?
Well, I talked to her on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, once on the air. But I don't know why. You know, we've interviewed thousands of people, it feels like, and I'm feeling a little awkward.
What's your favorite Sarandon movie? Mine's Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. I like Bull Durham. I like Atlantic City. I even like she was in The Hunger, too, right? And I like Rocky Horror. I mean, I'm a fan. I like Dead Man Walking as well. I like all of them, actually. Which was the one she did with Spader? White Castle?
White Palace.
White Palace, that was interesting.
White Castle is different.
Isn't that the one where they bought a box of
White Castle? What you crave.
White Castle.
I've never eaten a White Castle hamburger in my life.
Oh,
you're missing out.
Am I really?
Yeah, you are.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Presto and I sat under the BQE for an hour or so eating about 12 White Castles, Chris?
Yeah, it was heaven.
Also a Cossinum. Also a Cossinum. I just had my other dose of Also a Cossinum. And I'm not even pushing this. They're not paying me to do it. I don't know if it's going to work. Did somebody actually call and say it was duck liver?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. I had no idea. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I used to eat pate. That's goose liver.
Yeah, is it like foie gras in pill form?
Yeah. Mark, just had to send a note to say how you will be sorely missed in Paris, France, where your blend of over-the-top antics and soulful conversation on anything from condoms to Coltrane keeps this expat connected and still somewhat American. Where else can we get our daily dose of culture, humor, politics, and music from the same source? I think you've stumbled upon the obvious combination for success, just not the best bosses. I especially admire your soul-searching and your I-don't-know-what-the-I'm-talking-about honesty as you try to wade through the murky political correctness of the left or the total hypocrisy of the right. They love us, Riley. Air America is losing its Falstaff.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. It's not going to get any easier. Jenna, how are you in the hospital? You don't have to put her on. Just saying hi, because I know she's laying there.
Hey, Jenna.
Listening with her head on the phone. Our Orthodox Jewish friend, Jenna, who was so happy to meet Lawton Smalls yesterday. She almost, she's over the top happy. Susan Sarandon, soon, 57 past, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
It's 6 past the hour. Good morning. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
All right. There you go. I didn't get to do my little bongo. Let me do the bongo. There you go. I wanted to make it official. Well, all of a sudden you moved in here, Kalo, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. You understand? All right? You know, you move around, and then you're sitting there yelling at me to push a button. I don't understand.
Yo, I can't hear nothing.
You worked here for 2 years.
Also a Cossinum. Hey, look, I didn't work here 2 years. I've been in this studio about 5 months. Or what? I don't even know how long I've been in this studio.
The whole thing goes to pot now.
What do you mean? Everything's going to fall apart? Everything's breaking down? Come on.
And all it has to do with is that Chris went in there, and we can't figure out exactly why, and then Crimmings just said it, and he's absolutely right.
What?
He went in there because Susan Sarandon's coming in.
Oh, he called it because Susan Sarandon's coming in.
He wants to sit in the studio.
I just wanted to remember what it was like me being here with the hosts.
Oh, yeah.
That's back in the Larson days when it was just Larson, McDonald, and Pashman looking in the booth, looking at us laughing, going, what are they laughing at?
Everybody be like, look at them.
I know. Hey, speaking of Dan Pashman, we just had a very heated discussion about the fact that when he gets married to his current fiance, that she's going to want to stay kosher and make his home kosher. Hey, Pashman, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with that, man? Dan?
I don't know. We'll have to work on it, you know?
To work on it? Do you know what kosher means? You have to have separate toilet seats or something.
I mean, I'm willing to compromise. You know, I'm willing to compromise, but there's certain lines. You know, I mean, this is the United States of America.
Yeah.
And, you know, cheeseburgers are pretty damn American. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like there's going to be a whole new series of Pashman rules revolving around kashrut.
Kashrut. Those won't be Pashman rules.
No, but they're going to be the Pashman interpretation of the laws of kashrut. Is that how you say it? Kashrut?
I think that's the Hebrew way
to say kasulim.
It. Yeah, that's another
word. Also mm-hmm. Kashrut.
You turned into David Letterman.
I know.
Badafuko.
Hypnotized. Hypnotized. All right, well, look, let's go back. And now I need the time machine thing. You know, like a kashrut. Look, we're going to hear Pashman. Dan Pashman was known on our show to have very specific ways of doing things. And now we're going to give you a little montage of Pashman's rules.
Modern life has grown increasingly hectic these days, and we here at Morning Sedition want to help. Now in the studio is a man known to spend an inordinate amount of time pondering subjects both large and small, so much so that we've decided it constitutes a philosophy, which we call Pashman's Rules. Here now is the man who some people think is one of the major powers here at Air America Radio, producer Dan Pashman. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You got to approach Thanksgiving understanding that the goal is to eat as much as you can possibly eat in one day.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So first of all, eat Thanksgiving dinner early so
right.
you can eat again later.
Right.
Wear loose pants.
Right.
And don't be afraid to take off your pants if
right.
they're too restrictive.
You take off your pants at the table at what point? And then what happens? You take off your pants.
Well, I don't consider it a successful Thanksgiving dinner if I don't end up lying on the dining room floor.
Burping.
With the dog licking my face, wondering if I'm okay.
Go ahead, Riley.
Go ahead. Wait, never mind. I'm not going there this time.
All right. Okay. All right. So that's fine. Now let's talk about plate etiquette. Now, so you lay
yes.
on the floor. Okay. That's all good.
That's the end part.
I have a feeling that your family revolves around you somehow.
No, that's not really
no.
true. It's a team effort of the Pashman family.
Okay. So you're talking that mom, dad, Howie are all laying on the floor naked by the end of the meal? Just holding
like,
their stomachs?
It's like Thanksgiving at Abu Ghraib.
Yeah. And the dog is like up on the table licking the plates.
Oh,
that's a successful.
Man, I can see that.
There's a few tips for dealing with past hors d'oeuvres, because if you're in the wrong position or if you approach it incorrectly, first of all, you might not get to taste all the hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, this falls under the category of Pashman positioning, as
yes.
we learned from you know, when you get to a concert and you want to get the right seat. Pashman positioning is very important in any social situation.
So true, Mark. It's so true. And I've actually been on the other side of the past hors d'oeuvres as a waiter. I have been the one passing the hors d'oeuvres, so I know both sides of the coin here. And I can tell you that the biggest key, the most important thing...
Right.
And when you're playing the sport, the game of past hors d'oeuvres,
yes.
you've got to find out where the hors d'oeuvres are coming from.
You're the source.
Find
the
kitchen.
Yes.
The hors d'oeuvres
source. Find the kitchen and
yes.
hang out there. If we have time later on, I'll tell the story of my Hanukkah miracle of motivation, senior year of college. That was a great moment.
I think you have to tell that story right now.
Okay, well, then I will.
Yeah.
I, you know, my motivation in college waned. By the time I was a senior, I felt like I'd mastered college, and I was almost offended at professors who dared make me do work. Because I felt like I know how to give you what you want to get good grades, and so why are you wasting my time?
This is another window into the passionate soul
oh,
that
yeah, really.
Makes me all the more distrustful of his confidence.
And your Go parents ahead. Paid how much to send you there?
Yeah. Enough. So I was out of motivation. My first semester, senior year, I had completely retired from taking notes at all.
Yeah.
I would just sit in the back of the room doing a crossword puzzle, and but I was still getting good grades. And so, but that semester I was like so far behind, I was slammed, and I had not done any work.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of finals, and
yeah.
I had one night to write a 10-page paper that I had not started.
Yeah.
Wrote the paper in one night. It was the first night of Hanukkah, and I wrote it, and it was a phenomenal paper. I ended up getting an A on it, but...
Did you keep the lamp going all night long with the oil that was only supposed to last?
It was the Hanukkah miracle of motivation. You see, what happened, Mark, was that yeah. I thought this was my last great stand as a student, this
okay.
one night of writing this 10-page paper in one night and making
yeah.
it a really good paper. But the motivation lasted for 8 miraculous nights. And I ended up acing all my finals the whole rest of the week and getting the best grades I ever got in any semester.
You know what I like about you, Pashman?
What's that?
Your ability to mythologize yourself. That there's this like the unfolding tale of Pashman, the myth of Pashman.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
That's what I call the Hanukkah miracle of motivation.
wasn't that sweet? 12 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Here's a little more love from Japan, Riley. You know, I've been a little selfish and being a little bit of a hog of the love because I'm the one leaving. You're going to be hanging out, my friend. But here's somebody. Jenny said, I swore I'd boycott if AAR dumped Morning's Edition, but I can't bring myself to do it. I want Riley to know that. As much as we all love Maron, we love him too.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. When both of you have your new shows up and running, I'll send you each more melty kisses to celebrate. That's the candy from Japan.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier about, look, someone else sent us this link to Raw Story. What, this, more than anything else that I would love to happen in the next 2 days, and hopefully by Christmas, is that Karl Rove get indicted. Apparently there's talk now, this is from Raw Story, but there's definitely talk that Fitzgerald is honing in. He's presenting to the grand jury evidence that he hopes to get at least a perjury indictment on Karl Rove, and that would be just terrific, wouldn't it, Riley?
That would be wonderful. It would make my year.
I'd love to see Karl Rove's head on the tree.
Well,
right on the top.
But see, now the other side of that is we don't want to confuse indictment with conviction or copping a plea.
Okay.
I would love to see him indicted, convicted, and or copping a plea.
Yeah, but isn't...
A plea that involves jail time,
That would be great. I mean, but it's a step, man. Just an indictment would pollute that guy, don't you think? I mean, obviously he would resurface, not unlike many criminals have resurfaced in, like, Poindexter and Negroponte to a certain degree, but I don't think Negroponte was ever indicted. But a lot of these guys have Elliot Abrams, wasn't he convicted in Iran-Contra?
I think, yeah,
or indicted.
He was indicted. I'm not sure if he was convicted.
These guys, they just resurface. You know, indictments don't really mean anything, but it would certainly be satisfying on some level to, I know, the audience of this show, and certainly to about, you know, at least 59 to 60% of this country. I think that number is growing. Would love to see that guy's head on top of a Christmas tree for Christmas.
Well, look, I mean, there are a whole bunch of people whose heads ought to be on top of a Christmas tree for Christmas. Dick Cheney is one. Gail Norton, the Interior Secretary, I don't know how she's managed to escape any kind of scrutiny at all, given the foolishness that was going on there. There's a whole bunch of people in
that's in the Abramoff.
Abramoff thing. Yeah, she's, you know, they were apparently using her spot almost as a money laundering operation over there.
Yep, everyone's writing letters. Look, folks, hopefully that'll all happen. It sounds like we could have a full tree of ornaments, of ornamental heads of neocons dangling from the tree. That would be sweet.
How sweet.
Oh, look, Susan Sarandon is coming on. I'm going to go, I got to go, you know, throw some cold water on my face and pull my act together because I don't want to act like an idiot. 15 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
On Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yeah.
It's the Morning Sedition program here on Air America Radio for the time being. We've got about 2 1/4 more shows left to go. I'm trying to keep it together because sitting right beside me here at the microphone, Oscar-winning actress Susan Sarandon, friend of the show. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here.
I can't believe you're here. Very excited.
You know, it's funny because until you win... Yeah. If you've been nominated a lot of times, people don't say, like, Oscar loser.
No, they don't. They say, many nominations. Almost a winner.
Almost a winner, but now finally.
Yeah. What do you feel like to be sitting there doing that? I used to like to watch the Oscars just to watch Tom Cruise lose. I know it's wrong.
But you do it anyway.
Yeah, there's something.
By the time you get to the best actor and best actress, your blood sugar is so low.
Yeah, because
that you don't even remember why you're there, except that you're really nervous. You'll forget to thank someone, so it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, you think I'd love to win because then they'd see the bottom part of my dress, but otherwise, you know, I'd have to remember who to thank. And sure enough, I didn't thank the money people when I got mine, and. You know?
Was there reprisals for that? Did somebody...
I think it was really because I had a grudge against how difficult it had been. It was a subconscious kind of thing. But, no, there weren't reprisals.
I always thought it was kind of interesting how well people act when they lose. You know, because they always cut to the people that lose. And I'm like, now there's a genius. You would think that they really didn't care if they won that thing or not.
Well, Lawrence Fishburne was sitting behind me, and he tapped me on the shoulder right before, and he said, "We're burning this place down if you don't get it this time." So I was really moved when everybody responded. I think they were just so happy to finally give it to me because I'd gotten nominated so many times within five. I think I got nominated five times within like 6 years or something. So they were like, "Oh, fine, just give it to her.
Thank God.
Let's stop this."
Thank God.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
Do you think that your political opinions had anything to do with you not getting it sooner?
No, I you know, the good news and the bad news is Hollywood really is not political.
Right.
It's just, I think Janine said, you know, the only thing you get blacklisted for is getting old and fat.
But I got to ask you, because having lived in New York for a long time, have seen the way some press in this town deals with both you and Tim Robbins. And it sickened me on a certain level. But there was a point at which I think they went after one of your kids.
Yeah.
What was that about?
The Post has no standards, you know, whatsoever. Well, in the lead up to the war, they just couldn't, you know, hit us often enough. And so finally, at one point, they ran a whole column about how our son, who at that time I think was 11 or 12 maybe, had dropped out of his play because the part wasn't big enough.
Wow.
And which of course was ridiculous, and who would care even if it were true except for maybe his classmates, I don't know. So you have to wonder who they're writing to hurt, you know. I mean, what would be the point of that kind of a big article? And they've written things about an orgy in my apartment, a gay toga party in my apartment, and you know, really, whole big pages worth.
So a gay toga party at your apartment?
I know, yeah. I was so sorry that we were on vacation. Yeah. I would have really liked to have seen that. And my mom was there for part of the time, so I said, gosh, that's just not like her. But they really, you know, when I talked to them, they couldn't even corroborate through their source what the inside of our apartment looked like.
Oh, that's really?
They said, well, there are kids' toys.
You ever thought about suing?
No. I mean, I think the best thing to do is just ignore them. I think people understand that they're really trashy and stupid. But someone on the street, one of the homeless people sitting on the street, did say to me, I hear you had a party.
Oh, my, really?
So, I mean, it does get out. But,
yeah, right.
You know, I just don't talk to them anymore.
It's better than the guy saying, I was at your house 2 days ago.
Yeah, right.
But there's a lot of people over there.
They left it really clean.
Well, Tim was in here, I guess, a week and a half ago, and he got us the first bit of news we've ever gotten on this show for saying Hillary can, yeah. Now, what happened after he left here?
Well, I was just shocked he couldn't use his blueberry or
Blackberry
thing,
yeah.
Because I thought he was the one in this twosome that knew how to deal with inanimate objects, and so I was shattered by that, because all along he'd bluffed me into thinking that he really knew what he was doing. So was the turning point.
So after he said Hillary can kiss his butt, there was no.
I think it got put in a few places or whatever.
But you didn't get a call from Hillary saying, what the hell's wrong with you?
She was already angry with me.
About what?
Well, because at some point, it's not really fair. I'm sure she's a good person and all of that. It's just that as a woman, I had higher hopes that she wouldn't just be another politician. And
right.
So when she voted for the war and then kind of wagged her finger afterwards and said, yeah, but, you know, don't take the car anywhere. We're just going to give you the keys, but I'm going to be watching. A lot of my friends and people that I knew felt really disappointed with her. And at one point, everyone assumes that if there's a woman that's in office, that every woman follows right. them without any kind of criticism. And somebody asked me, and I said, well, I was very disappointed, and the only thing she'll be remembered for is standing by her man, and that got out. And so then she said something about me and about how she would never pay to see another movie, and I said, well, I'm glad to know she pays.
Good. I mean, she is, there's a lot of talk about her running for president in a couple of years. And a lot of people within the Democratic Party, not just Hillary Clinton, but they seem to be saying that folks who really want to be president have to move to the center, which, quote, means abandoning the liberal base of the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
is that a bad construct?
Well, see how it's been working?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that explains right there. I think people want to hear somebody authentic, and that they're not going to produce somebody authentic that way, because you get people running for office who, first of all, the way the system's set up, or have sold out before they even get there because it's so expensive to run, and secondly of all, just are watching so carefully everything they say, so they sound like watered-down Republicans, and if you're going to go for that, you might as well get a real Republican. So I think if somebody came along who, even if you didn't agree with everything they said, but they had some kind of authenticity, that it was really rooted in their belief system, it would be hugely effective.
But it must be outside the current political system, right? Is there anybody inside now that you see that matches that criteria?
Well, if there is, they're being awfully quiet.
It's a surprise tactic.
Yeah. I always like Dennis Kucinich. I'd be honest with you. I thought during the last race, if you looked at his positions on issues, Dennis Kucinich was cool with me.
And he's a pretty good speaker, too. He opened for me at a Green Festival.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, that was horrible. A thousand people came to see him, and then, like, everyone but seven drifted off. But we'll be back with Susan Sarandon. We're going to talk a little bit about the death penalty and the state-sanctioned murder of Tukey Williams after this. 27 past, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
About what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop.
Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement. This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
I always have that moment when we have guests in the studio and we play stuff like that. I have that moment of sort of like, yeah, that's a retarded thing. You know, 35 past, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Susan Sarandon is with us. We were talking a lot. We talked a little with Tim about Tukey Williams, and we know that you're also very active in anti-death penalty activism. Now, what happens now? What is your reaction to what happened in terms of what needs to be done?
Well, my reaction is that it's just incredibly sad because, I don't know if it really gives you closure if you're that family member who, you know, has tragically lost somebody violently, but it doesn't usually help ease the pain of losing somebody. So finally, at the end, you have this letdown. You have all the people that have been involved in killing someone in a premeditative way, someone who they probably have known because he's been there forever and ever and ever, and in this case, somebody who has affected quite a bit of good. So, you know, all the people that work within that institution, all the way up through the nurses that, I guess, couldn't get the needle in for 15 minutes, all of their lives have been affected because they've murdered a person, and it's just such a kind of deliberate, strange ritual that if you're on the inside, it's not even a rational thing. And then, you know, it's very hard as a mom to explain that it's okay to kill in some instances, but it's not okay to kill in others. So you have that quandary of the slippery slope of you kill a cop killer but not a fireman killer. You kill, you know, you can kill people that are under 18. You can kill people that are retired. I mean, how do you explain in different states? I mean, it doesn't seem to have a consistent moral bottom line. So if you're trying to deal with raising children, for instance, and you're trying to teach them to use their words and not be violent, and then the state has condoned murder, and then you have the religious aspect, because the Pope, for instance, is against capital punishment. And there has to be said that we're the only, you know, industrialized nation that does it. So you wonder if, in fact, you judge a country or a system by the way they deal with their criminals, what does that say about us? So there's that whole question. So now what can be done? Well, there are a lot of states that are moving toward, mm-hmm. you know, especially New Jersey right now, that are moving toward officially, you know, getting rid of the death penalty because it is, you know, applied only in very few instances, so it's inconsistent and hugely expensive. That's the other aspect of it. It's not a deterrent. There's so many rational explanations for it and so many moral explanations against it and against it financially. So I guess you can join any of the abolitionist groups that are out there.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't, in this instance, Tukey Williams' execution politically inevitable given Governor Schwarzenegger's situation?
I don't know. I mean, it takes a very, very brave man who, for instance, the governor of Illinois, whose name is
Ryan.
Ryan, thank you. Yeah. To, when presented with evidence, to you know, put their political fate on the line and pardon somebody, or not even pardon, just commute to life imprisonment, because it's so easy in a soundbite to use that against you. So that's really the reason. There was a case about a year ago where a guy clearly needed another trial. I mean, just so much evidence pointed to in California. And he was given a stay, but not by Schwarzenegger. And I got involved in trying to appeal to Schwarzenegger in that case, and it was clear that if he didn't step in on that one and ask for a new trial, that there was really, he was never going to do anything in this one.
Our guest is Susan Sarandon. We're talking about the death penalty, obviously. And in what point in your life did this become something that you wanted to be involved with? What caused that? I mean, were you young?
Well, it just never made sense intellectually, but then people would say to me, but if something happened to one of your children, wouldn't you want revenge, and blah, blah, blah. And then after I did Dead Man Walking and really walked through that whole thing, in Sister Helen's moccasins, as they say,
mm-hmm.
Then I knew viscerally that it really was wrong, that there is no explanation, no rationalization you can give besides the fact that it costs too much, besides the fact that it's capricious and arbitrary and the poor are the only ones that get it for killing white people and all the other statistics that support that. I knew in my heart of hearts then that, you know, even though I understood the very primal need for revenge and that state-condoned killing was not the way to go after doing that movie.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing to me is that as human beings, you do have that feeling. You do want revenge. I understand why people would think that that would give them closure, but that is part of what civilized society is supposed to be transcending,
mm-hmm.
is that if we aren't capable of forgiveness or enabling people to not necessarily, you know, obviously get out of jail, but to reflect and change their behavior and become a contributor to society in light of what they did, use that wisdom of whatever evil they have committed in their life to change other people. If we're not willing to enable that, then we're not really that civilized.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of feelings that we have that the state puts down rules that you can't follow through on. I mean, that's the idea of creating a society, is that you find some kind of way around, you know, betting. Otherwise, I mean, would then it be all right to just, you know, bet everyone you feel lust toward,
yeah.
and not have any ramifications, including children? I mean, is that an explanation for that, because you felt strongly that you needed to have sex with a 7-year-old? I mean, there have to be rules.
Yes, absolutely.
And most civilized nations, all civilized nations but ours, has found a way past that primal need for revenge and in an attempt to build a better society. And it's just turned out to be a means of trying to get elected. I mean, to say you're tough on crime, I mean, that's how it's been used.
I will kill people. Vote for me.
Yeah, I'll keep you safe by killing just a few people that do these crimes.
Well, you know, we're going to go through a wave of this now with two police officers having been killed. I'm sure there's going to be a call to execute whoever gets convicted in that situation. Do you think that we will ever have a situation where, A, maybe the feds will take this over and you know, have some kind of a a uniform standard, or do you think that the death penalty will ever be gone from the United States in our lifetime?
Yeah, I think it can be gone. I think that actually the bulk of people now do not want to take the responsibility on a jury of putting someone to death. Even in Oklahoma City, where Sister Helen was speaking after the bombing there, people signed this petition because a lot of times people would give the death penalty thinking that it's going to hold people on death row because they were afraid of that life imprisonment meant some kind of parole down the line. But if they know that it doesn't mean parole down the line, they're very satisfied with that because that's a huge responsibility. And, again, it really doesn't accomplish anything. And very often these individuals give back while they're in prison and become a calming influence. I mean, the ones that are rehabilitated and do a lot of things, not to say, you know, it's not the same thing as forgiveness to say that somebody's sentence can be commuted to life. It means that they can give service to make up for that one moment that defined them at that time.
It's 43 past the hour. We're talking to Susan Sarandon. Let's talk quickly before we go to break and come back and do our final Rapture Watch, which I believe you're involved in. DMWplay.org, the Dead Man Walking play that has been made available to I'm assuming high schools is in
and colleges
to be
elementary school might be pushing a little bit.
Yeah.
A little too heavy to create a dialogue. How does that work? You can go to the website and you're allowed to perform the play. Is there some sort of catch to it?
Well, I think that I'm not an expert on this. I have run into a number of Sister Helens that were about 16 or 15 years old, which has been pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But I think the only you have to give another class within that school, so it could be ethics or English or I don't know, gym class could deal with it, but something else, another class that also supports a dialogue about the death penalty. That's the only requirement.
Okay, so that's at dmwplay.org. We're going to go away briefly and come back with Reverend Cardinal Milf Milfington and the final Rapture Watch featuring Susan Sarandon. It's 44 past. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Otasa katata matita. Hear my voice, idolaters, sucklers at the teats of beasts, and every guy named Ron in Hoboken. This is Milf Cardinal Milfington of Rapture Watch. And because I always want to know the latest on what Satan and his toad-licking minions are up to, I listen to the Morning Sedition Monday through Friday, every hubdominal, look it up, from 6 to 9 a.m. here on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, let's land this thing. It's Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley over there.
Yes, it is.
Susan Sarandon's over here. Hi.
Hi.
And it's time for the very last Rapture Watch. The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Milf Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Willacoochee, Georgia. Your grace.
Take heed, thy consumers of salty victuals and sweetmeats, and hinder not from my word, ye gluttonous imbibers of truffles, sucklers of bonbons, and manufacturers of those flat bourbon cookies with those cute decorations made from hard specks of colored candy that get stuck in your teeth. Rudolph's nose has been lodged between my molars for 2 years now. You think I get dental doing this crap? And woe unto thee, ye pagan vagabonds. Dogging it by bus, hopping the westbound cannonball to Hooverville, bindle stick in hand, sniping a couple of butts and spear biscuits off some rum-dum yegg. Arg, Satan! Your power is strong today for conjuring up the obscure lingo of hobos. Well, that's neither Montasa nor Cantata Patapa Tatata Pata. Because soon you'll all be hanging from the devil's darning needle. For just as it was written, I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, in Book 1 of Amos, so it was also written, Holy Mackerel, Kingfish, in Episode 5 of Amos and Andy. In short, Jesus is coming for us, and he's got his belt out. The end times are nearest. For according to the AP, or Antichrist Press, a planetoid 360 yards wide named Asteroid 99942 is going to hit the Earth in 30 years. Please note, the chance of this happening is 1 in 5,000. So saith the learned scientist at NASA, which according to my research, stands for Nerds Admiring Satan's Anus. Either that or the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. I'm going with Nerds Admiring Satan's Anus myself. It's catchier. What does all this mean, you hepatitis rubbers of smooth skin parts? The rapture is upon us, for it was prophesied in Revelation number 9, number 9, number 9. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the waters, causing widespread flooding, war, and famine. Satan looked upon his work and said, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. And quoted, Mark,
yeah.
Pop quiz.
Okay.
Maccabees 12:46, uh-huh. Ephesians 8, Galatians 6.
Uh-huh.
Which one of these was not written during the reign of Ishar Hadan?
Ephesians 8?
Wrong, your show's canceled. Yeah, it was that simple.
Wow.
Well, there you have it, idolaters. Yeah. While you're all basking in the Lord's divine vengeance of global flooding and no-bid reconstruction contracts, I'll be sitting at the throne of Jesus and his award-winning vat of egg salad.
Egg salad.
Yeah. Okay. Till then, fornicators, keep on fornicatoring, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell! Seacrest out.
Wow, thank you, Jim. That was very moving. Susan, yeah. Did you want to say something?
Wow, yeah, that was perhaps the most powerful rapture watch ever. I'm afraid to leave the studio, actually. So if I wanted to learn more about all things, because I didn't quite understand most of that, Jim Earle, how would I go about it?
May I field that question, Jim?
Oh, sure. It's kind of a little embarrassing, but go ahead. Fine.
Well, Susan, when I'm feeling low and unsure about my place in life, I always go to JimEarle.com. That's JimEarle.com.
Really? And what is it like?
Oh, Susan, it's a magical world of wonder, pageantry, and enlightenment. There's even a special page for kids.
Oh.
And while they're busy playing online poker, grown-ups with medical problems can click on a link to have Jim cure them with his special powers.
Kids, huh? Oh, wow. And even if they have a liver ailment?
Yes, Susan, even if they have a liver ailment.
Gosh, I can't wait to tell Tim and the kids about this. Is all this true, Mr. Earle?
Actually, no. I really don't have anything up on my website yet. Mark's pretty much living in a dream world.
Yeah, but Jim, you do have a thing where people can sign up on your mailing list.
Shut up, Dave.
Gosh, this is beyond my wildest dreams. I'm going to call all my big Hollywood friends and tell them all about Jim Earle and JimEarle.com.
Me too, Susan. But before I do, can I ask you one question?
Certainly, Mark with a C.
Do you think I'm fat? Oh, that was it. That was great, Jim. That was all very exciting. Wasn't it, Susan? Wasn't
it
exciting?
Wow, yeah.
It was very exciting. It was very exciting for me. Hey.
Thank you.
I didn't get no lines, and you talked about Amos and Andy, pal.
Here we go. Let the race wars begin.
That's right.
Got to play the race card again.
So, yeah, ace of spades.
Yeah, so Susan, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm so sad you're going.
Oh, thank you. And last week you couldn't come because you were doing a new movie.
Yes.
And who were you working with?
I was working with Ralph Fiennes. It's kind of a two-hander about Doris Duke and her butler that she left her entire everything to and who showed up at the first board meeting in her dress.
Oh, okay.
So it's a love story.
And Bob Balaban's involved in this?
Bob Balaban directed it and was very patient and very smart because we only had a very tiny, teeny bit of money, and so we were stealing and borrowing and...
He's a funny man.
He's very funny.
He's been on our show before, and he's one of those guys you just look at and start laughing, and you feel stupid about it, but he's funny.
But, you know, he's really smart, too. He directed me in The Exonerated. That's the first thing we did. But we've known each other for, I don't know, 25 years.
Are you doing any award stuff? Are you doing Golden Globes, anything?
My rule is unless they nominate me, I don't go.
Tell me,
too much of a hassle to pull it all together.
Right. But the Golden Globes, is that like what? I find them kind of irritating. How is that determined? Is that just a bunch of movie critics from Europe?
No, movie critics, kind of slash paparazzi journalists slash people.
But why does it get all? Why does it get all the press? I mean, these
because
are just...
it's the precursor. Some people think that it's if you get a Golden Globe, which I have gotten a number of nominations, that that guarantees that you get an Oscar nomination. But that's not true. But it is. It starts to get your name out there, you know, a little bit more.
And it's a little funner.
But you have to remember that, you know, Pia Zadora won a Golden Globe. Just to put it in perspective.
Oh, I loved her in Hairspray.
I don't. Did she? No. Did she, was she in Hairspray?
She was in Hairspray.
Well, she didn't win for
she
that.
She and Rick Ocasek played the Beatniks in Hairspray.
Well, I'm going to keep that close to my heart.
And let's talk about one other thing. This John Turturro film, Romance and Cigarettes, you play opposite of
James Gandolfini.
Was that menacing and interesting?
He's the sweetest ever. He's like a big, bad 8-year-old, you know. He's just, and he's very good. He has to kind of sing, and Kate Winslet plays his mistress, I'm the wife, and Mary Louise Parker, and
wow,
Chris Walken, and Steve Buscemi, and Mandy Moore, and Aida Turturro are all in it, too. And it was really, really fun, as was the Doris and Bernard. Something about having no money really kind of liberates you. You feel like no one's going to see this anyway. I might could do whatever I want.
Well, I hope that it gets out there, Romance and Cigarettes, and I'm so glad you came by. Thanks
for
coming.
Having
thanks
me.
A lot.
I think that we obviously don't have time for Cliff Notes, and I was going to do a last sheeple line, but now I can't find. Oh, I do. I found it. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. So the Iraqis are voting. Wake up, sheeple. There's no candidate on the ballot named Abdul. I'll get the hell out of my country, you greedy douchebags.
Oh, God.
All right, man. What do we got tomorrow? Do we have time? We got Kevin Pollak.
Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. On Air America Radio.